Good evening. We were out at the park today with a lot of the young ones who, most of them, I guess all of them are just about back there, aren't they? We played in the playground, we played ball, and we ate hot dogs. So it was a good time. I'm going to be reading Hebrews 9 and verse 27. Inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. Judgment day. What a frightening thought for many people. For a lot of people, that's their biggest worry about leaving this world. What will judgment day be like for me? Many of us might think among Christians, or at least among believers in Christ, that all professed Christians would agree on judgment day. But it's not so. It is not so. You would be mistaken. It is taught by some believers that since God is the God of love, He will forgive, and there will not be a judgment day. Others teach that the righteous will live on eternally with God, but the unrighteous will cease to exist. They will not be consciously aware that they have been separated by God, from God, and punished. Still others teach judgment and hell are a dark reality, but they are not at the center of the teaching of Jesus Christ. It is not a teaching of human destiny. They believe God did not send His Son into the world to judge, but to save the world. And so I ask this evening, what does the Bible teach us about Judgment Day? First, let us see what Jesus taught about judgment. The first verse that most people bring up when you talk about judgment is John 3:16. God loved the world so much that He gave His one and only Son so that whoever believes in Him may not be lost but have eternal life. And then quickly they bring up verse 17. God did not send His Son into the world to judge the world guilty, but to save the world through Him. And no one questions this precious verse that most people know by heart who are Christian. He said He did not come into this world to judge it. He came in the world to save it. Voila, no judgment day. But Jesus says more on this subject. John chapter 5, verse 22. Jesus says, "In fact, the Father judges no one, but He has given the Son power to do all the judging." And He continues this thinking with verse 26 and 27. "Life comes from the Father Himself, and He has allowed the Son to have life in Himself as well. And the Father has given the Son the power to judge because He is the Son of Man." And then in verse 30 of John chapter 5, "I can do nothing alone. I judge only the way I am told. So my judgment is fair. I don't try to please myself, but I try to please the One who sent me." Does Jesus contradict Himself? In one passage He says, "I did not come into the world to judge, but to save." And then in John chapter 5, He says, "God has given me the authority to judge." Well, which is it? Has He come into the world to save it or to judge it? Has Jesus contradicted Himself? Of course not. He is simply saying that when He came into the world that first time, His mission was to bring the message of God and to save the world. That was the reason He came into the world. Men were lost. They had been judged already and found guilty, but God sent His Son to save the world. But with closer examinations, we will see the second time that Jesus comes to the world. The time of salvation will be gone. The day of judgment will have arrived. And He merely told, I have authority from my Father to judge. And when we think about Jesus as He talks about judgment, if you were to go through the Gospels and look at Jesus' teaching about salvation, you would notice something. Judgment plays a central thought in His teaching of salvation. Judgment is important. Judgment is also a reason to seek salvation. Look through the gospel and see if it is not essential, basic, and the center of His teaching. Judgment is central. According to Scripture, judgment is certain. Did you notice what Jesus or what the Hebrew writer said? He says, it is appointed once for man to die, and after that the judgment. We might as well say that judgment is as certain as death itself. If one comes, so comes the other. And just as there is no escape from death, or has anyone figured out how to escape death? There is no escape from judgment. A lot of kids like to stay home from school and have their parents write them an excuse so they can take the next day to school and see us excused. Well, this will not be possible on judgment day. You cannot skip it. You cannot miss it. Judgment is for all mankind. By inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul wrote the following to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. We must all stand before Christ to be judged. Each of us will receive what we should get, good or bad, for the things we did in the earthly body. And in his sermon on Mars Hill, Paul spoke these words in Acts 17, 30 and 31. In the past, people did not understand God, and he ignored this. But now, God tells all people in the world to change their hearts and lives. And then Paul tells us why. God has set a day that he will judge all the world with fairness by the man he chose long ago. And God has proved this to everyone by raising that man from the dead. Need I say more? I could surely find many more scriptures where Jesus talks about the day of judgment and its certainty. But how many passages do we need to understand judgment day will come? As certain as we must die, we must be judged. The next question that naturally comes, when will judgment occur? And Jesus gives the answer in Matthew chapter 25. But even in the passage we read by Paul, Paul said what? That God set a day that he will judge the world with fairness. Did he talk there about two judgments? Did he mention 2 days upon which two different judgments take place? Paul said, God has set a day. Now, I'm not a grammar expert, but I think a day means one. I don't know. Judy, is that correct? She says, that's right. I was terrible in grammar in school. couldn't understand why it was important. But this is why grammar is important. But in Matthew 25, let's read verses 31 through 34, and then verse 41 and 46. This is Jesus himself who is speaking these words. The Son of Man will come again in his great glory with all his angels. He will be king and sit on his great throne. Now, there is a teaching that says Jesus will come and reign 1,000 years. And they say he will sit as king at that time. Well, let's see what will happen when Jesus comes and sits as king. Verse 32, all the nations of the world will be gathered before him. And he will separate them into two groups, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. The Son of Man will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to the people on his right, come, my Father has given you his blessing. Receive the kingdom God has prepared for you since the world was made. That's the sheep. Are you a sheep? You hope. We all hope. We all pray. Then the king will say to those on his left, and I just pointed to my right, left's over here. Then the king will say to those on his left, go away from me. You will be punished. Go into the fire that burns forever, that was prepared for the devil and his angels. These people will go off to be punished forever. But the good people will go to live forever. Please notice, when will this happen? At the next appearing of the Lord, when the Lord comes to sit as king and judge. And in this judgment, he separates the wicked from the good or the righteous. It is something that has not yet occurred. Some people say it has. Judgment has not yet occurred. It is not something that will occur at our death. Because he says all will be called before the judgment seat. He will bring all of his angels. Now I don't know how many angels that is. But it will be all. It will be all. When Christ comes again, that will be the end. No room for 1,000-year reign in Jesus' plan of thinking in these verses. 1 Corinthians 15:23-24. But everyone will be raised to life in the right order. Christ was first to be raised. When Christ comes again, those who belong to him will be raised to life, and then the end will come. At that time, Christ will destroy all rulers, authorities, and powers, and he will hand over the kingdom to God the Father. You see, when he comes again, Jesus is not coming to rule and reign 1,000 years. It says, when he comes again, it is the end. He will judge, and he will turn over the kingdom to the Father. 2 Peter 3:9-12. The Lord is not slow in doing what he promised, the way some people understand slowness. But God is being patient with you. He does not want anyone to be lost, but he wants all people to change their hearts and lives. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The skies will disappear with a loud noise. Everything in them will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be burned up. In that way, everything will be destroyed. So what kind of people should you be? You should live holy lives and serve God as you wait for and look forward to the coming of the day of God. When that day comes, the skies will be destroyed with fire, and everything in them will melt with heat. It says, when that day comes, when Jesus comes back, the heavens and the earth will be burned up. And all men will be assembled before the judgment seat of the Almighty God. who will be present at this time? All nations, from the beginning of time to the end of time, will be there. The wicked and the righteous will be there. I remember in Olsnitz, we had many elderly in the church who had been and lived through at least part of World War II. And I told them, Hitler will be there and he will have to answer to God why he did what he did. And so will every president of the United States stand before God to answer before God for their actions as president. But you and I will also be there. You and I must also answer before God for our actions, for our thinking, for our doing as we lived upon earth. We will all be present at the same time before the same Lord, before the same judgment seat. Some teach there will be at least 1,000 years between the judgment of the righteous and the unrighteous. I have not found such a verse in the Bible. Have you? Whenever I've studied judgment, the Bible speaks of one day, one judgment, one destruction of the earth, one salvation, and one eternal death, the second death. And at this time, the Scripture teaches that Jesus Himself will judge. He will separate the sheep from the goats. Paul, the apostle of God, the apostle of Jesus, declares in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 10 and 11, because we must all stand before Christ to be judged, each of us will receive what we should get, good or bad, for the things we did in the earthly body. Since we know what it means to fear the Lord, we try to help people accept the truth about us. God knows what we really are, and I hope that in your hearts, you know too. JC, you'll be there with me as we stand before God. Our neighbors will be there. And they're going to know if we talk to them about the Lord or not. All will be there. This is one appointment no one will miss. The Bible says when He comes again, you can't miss it. I mean, the angels are all going to be there. The Bible teaches the trumpets are going to sound, that every eye will see Him. The Old Testament talks about people trying to hide in the mountains, but the mountains are destroyed. We cannot hide from the final judgment. No one will miss Judgment Day. Who will be the judge? There's a very interesting passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 3 and 5, or 3 through 5. Paul said, as for myself, I do not care if I am judged by you or by any human court. I do not even judge myself. I know of no wrong I have done, but this does not make me right before the Lord. The Lord is the one who judges me. So do not judge before the right time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light things that are now hidden in darkness and will make known the secret purposes of people's hearts. Then God will praise each one of them. Paul is simply saying, don't start judging your brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't start judging one another. Isn't that great news? I don't know about you. I don't want some people to be my judge. There are people who don't like me. I don't know why some of these people don't like me, but there are people who don't like me. I don't want them being my judge. People have a tendency to make small things into big things. They have a tendency to make things up that aren't even there. No, I would much rather have Jesus as my judge. But I don't even want myself to be my judge. Did you hear the words of Paul? Paul said, I don't know of anything that I've done that is wrong. But then he said, but that doesn't mean that I haven't done anything wrong in the sight of God. I don't want to be my own judge because I might let myself into heaven quite easily. Judge is Jesus. And Jesus is righteous, Jesus is faithful, and His judgment will be fair. Let's admit it, some folks are downright prejudiced when it comes to who and what they judge, usually without all the facts, because they know best. Jesus will be judge. But that comes as no surprise to you, does it? Everything will be brought to light. There are some things we may not want to come to light. There's things maybe we have forgotten about in the past. But the Bible teaches all things will come to light. Even the hidden things in the heart. And His judgment will be thorough. His judgment will be final. His judgment is irrevocable. There is no Supreme Court higher than God Himself. But most importantly, His judgment will be just. On what basis will it be just? Let's take a look at the end of time through the eyes of John the Apostle in the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, "Then I saw a great white throne, and the one who was sitting on it. Earth and sky ran away from him and disappeared." Does that sound like what Peter wrote about? The heavens and the earth being destroyed by fire? "And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. Then the books were opened, and the book of life was opened. The dead were judged by what they had done, which was written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. Each person was judged by what he had done. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. And anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire." First, the dead are judged out of the books which were opened. I think these are the laws of God. Jesus once said, in John 12:48, "There is a judge for those who refuse to believe in me and do not accept my words. The word I have taught will be their judge on the last day." So those books that were opened were the revelation of God to mankind. The patriarchs, nothing to do with New England, the patriarchs apparently had a word of God because they had a way that they were supposed to worship. The law of Moses came, and the Jews at that time were to live according to that laws. And in this age of Christianity, we have the laws and the words of Jesus Christ that are to judge all mankind. All will be judged according to the revealed teachings that God had given them. But we are all washed clean by the blood of the Lamb, the righteous who have followed the words of the Lord in their own time. One may object, but I don't believe in the Bible. I know people who would object. I mentioned once before, I met a woman in the Northwest, and I read her a passage, and she goes, "My Bible doesn't have that passage." And I mentioned to her, "Oh, it has to be. It's in every Bible." And she insisted it was not in her Bible. She opened it up, and sure enough, it wasn't. She had cut it out. Or not cut, she had taken a pen and darkened it in. That passage was not in her Bible. Does that mean that passage is not effective for her life? No, it's effective in her life, even if she tried to blot it out. She didn't like what the passage said. We will be judged by what was written in the books. Each one of us must give account for the things we have done in this life. Now, there are those who teach that works have nothing to do with salvation. I'm a little confused then by the words. What did he tell us? You're going to be judged by what you have done that is written in the books. Yes, salvation comes only through the blood of Jesus, comes only through faith. But James makes it clear, a faith that has no works is dead, which means it is worthless. Works do play a part, even if we don't want to admit it. The Bible teaches it, not just in Revelation. Paul himself speaks of these works that are to be done. So no matter what many have taught about works and salvation, God revealed to John and to Paul and to Peter and some other writers that works do play a part. They apparently are important to our lives as Christians in that time of judgment. To deny this would be to deny the words of the Holy Scripture. Because what did we read? That we each will receive what we should get, good or bad, for the things we did in the earthly body. They're not my words. They're the words of the Holy Scripture. But there was one more book that is mentioned by John. And anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. The Lamb's book of life. It will be opened. And if one's name is not found upon its pages, one is to be lost in eternity. Is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? This should be a matter of highest priority for everyone. Is yours there? If you are a faithful, baptized believer in Christ, then I would dare say yes, your name is there. Like death, judgment cannot be escaped or avoided. You can't excuse yourself from it or be absent on that day. But you can be prepared for the judgment day. Now is the time to get ready. The old revival song, and I love it dearly, starts off, there's a great day coming. A great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. There's a great day coming. Second verse. There's a sad day coming. There's a sad day coming by and by when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? Third verse. There's a glad day coming. A glad day coming. There's a glad day coming by and by when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? That day will be great. None will ever be like it. The angels, the trumpets, the Lord, all people standing before Him, from Hitler to what's this guy's name now? George W. Bush, excuse me, his name was gone. All will stand before the Lord to give account for His deeds upon the earth. But there's a sad day coming. It's a sad day for those who are not prepared for the coming of the Lord. If they are not prepared, eternity with God in heaven is not theirs. But there's a glad day coming. There's a glad day coming for those who have repented and have been baptized in the name of the Lord and have had their sins washed away by the blood of the Lamb. There'll be a glad day for those Remember, judgment day is inevitable. It will come. You can't miss that day, but you can be prepared. Are you prepared for the judgment day? If not, I would encourage you this evening to prepare yourself, for we know not the time. The Bible teaches He will come as a thief in the night. Come and prepare yourself this evening as we stand and sing.